You know how we're surrounded by like tons of plastic products every day?
Yeah.
Well, today we're going to do a deep dive into the world of injection molding
Oh, cool.
and find out how something as simple as like pressure, like pushing on something, affects all those everyday objects we use, from a car bumper to like even a phone case.
Okay, yeah.
And you're specifically interested in how injection pressure, like how hard you push that plastic,
Right.
affects like the quality and stuff of the final product.
Exactly.
So that's what we're going to be exploring
I
today.
found
It's
this up.
looking at the mechanical properties, the dimensions, like even the physical, properties.
Yeah.
And we've got our expert here to help us break it all down.
It's pretty wild how much we rely on injection molding without even realizing it.
Right?
Like, it's not just about like shoving plastic into a mold.
Oh, okay.
It's like a whole balancing act.
So I've heard about this like Goldilocks zone for injection pressure, but
Yeah.
what's the just right pressure? Like, what number are we talking about for a car bumper versus, say, a phone case?
Okay, well, for something like a car bumper, you're looking at like really high injection pressure,
Oh, wow.
like upwards of 10,000 PSI, to get that impact
Yeah,
resistance.
10,000.
Yeah, but a phone case, you want it to be strong, but also kind of flexible.
Right.
So you might mold that at a lower pressure, maybe around 6,000 PSI.
Okay.
And those are, just ballpark figures.
Yeah.
It really depends on the plastic, the mold, and like a bunch of other factors.
So it's not just about cranking up the pressure for like the strongest thing ever.
Right.
What happens if you like go too high or too low, like on a molecular level?
Okay, so imagine plastic molecules, like long chains, all tangled up, right?
Okay.
And injection pressure is like this force trying to like line them all up neatly.
Oh, okay.
So higher pressure means like tighter packing, which usually makes the material denser and stronger. But if you go past that Goldilocks zone, you can actually create stress inside the plastic.
Oh, so it's like overpacking a suitcase.
Exactly.
Might all fit, but then it could burst open.
Right. So you've got these molecules like stretched and squished into place. If the pressure's too high, they're stuck in this like tense state. Then, when the product cools down and those forces relax, that's when you can get warping, cracking, or even tiny little flaws that weaken the material.
It's still like that overpacked suitcase, huh?
Yeah. It might look fine, but it's just waiting to like
So
explode.
it's not just about strength, it's about making sure it lasts, right?
Right.
Speaking of lasting, our source mentioned a designer who had a phone case that kept shrinking after molding.
Oh,
Is
yeah.
that because of like too much pressure?
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Dimensional stability is like super important in injection molding.
Okay.
Too much pressure, and the part might shrink or warp as it cools down.
Why does that happen?
Because those stressed out molecular chains are trying to go back to their original shape, like jeans shrinking in the dryer.
Yeah, okay.
It's all about getting those dimensions right.
So basically, finding the right pressure keeps your product from going all wonky over time.
Exactly. Too low, you get a flimsy product.
Right.
Too high, it warps or gets brittle.
Is there any way to know this would happen like before you even make the product?
There's actually software that can simulate injection molding
Oh,
and
wow.
predict problems based on the pressure settings.
Cool.
But it's still a pretty complex process. You
Yeah.
got to experiment to find the sweet spot.
Okay, so speaking of different materials,
Yeah.
there's like a zillion types of plastic out there.
Yeah. Tons.
Do they all react the same way to pressure?
No, not at all.
I really.
Each plastic has its own, like, personality.
Okay, so what do you mean?
Well, some are naturally stiff,
Yeah.
so they need more pressure to flow into the mold. Others are more flexible, and too much pressure could, like, ruin them. It's like you wouldn't use a sledgehammer to put in a tiny nail, right?
Makes sense. So can you give us some examples?
Sure, like polycarbonate.
What's that?
It's used for stuff like eyeglasses and helmets.
Okay.
It's strong. But if you mold it at too high a pressure, it gets brittle.
Oh, okay.
It loses its toughness.
Interesting.
Then you have things like polyethylene,
Okay.
which is used in milk jugs and plastic bags.
Oh, okay.
It's more flexible, so it needs lower pressure
Got it.
to get that strength and bendiness.
So you're saying you have to choose the right tool for the job
Exactly.
and know how to handle different materials.
Yeah, you got it.
This brings us to another thing our listener is curious about. How does pressure affect like the physical feel of the product?
Oh, good question.
We've talked about strength and making sure it keeps its shape,
Right.
but what about like how heavy it is or how dense it
No,
feels?
that's really interesting. Usually higher pressure means a denser and heavier product.
Oh, really?
And sometimes that's good, like a fancy phone case, you know?
Okay, so it feels like it's good quality.
Exactly. But for some things, like airplane parts, you want them light.
Makes sense.
So you'd use lower pressure or even mix in lightweight materials.
Oh, to make up for the density.
Exactly.
So this injection pressure thing, it's another thing engineers have to think about, right?
Oh, yeah. It affects so much.
Especially for weight.
Definitely.
This is making me look at my water bottle differently.
I know, right?
It's crazy to think about all the engineering that goes into everyday stuff.
It really is. And we're just getting started.
Oh.
In the next part, we'll talk about how manufacturers actually control injection pressure to get those perfect results we talked about.
Oh, wow.
So stay tuned for more.
This is getting really interesting. I can't wait to learn more.
Me too.
We'll be back after a quick...
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Before we go, I just want to say this is really just like a tiny peek into injection molding, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's a super complex and always changing with new materials and tech coming out all the time.
So it's not just about following the rules, right?
Exactly. You have to understand the science and be ready to, like, adjust on the fly.
Makes sense.
That's what makes it so interesting.
And so tricky to master, I bet.
Totally. But we'll save those discoveries for the next part of our deep dive, so stay tuned.
Okay, we'll do.
Awesome.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm ready to learn more about, like, how manufacturers actually control this injection pressure thing to get those perfect results we talked about.
Yeah, it's pretty technical, but I think we can handle it.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So one of the sources really dives into this, you know, like how to actually set the pressure for the best manufacturing.
Okay.
And it's not just like setting it once and forgetting about it.
Oh, so you have to keep messing with it.
Yeah, you're constantly monitoring and adjusting as you go.
Got it. So what are like the big things manufacturers think about when they're like fine-tuning it?
Well, first off, they've got to think about those mechanical properties we talked about, like strength and toughness.
Right, right.
And those change depending on what you're making, obviously.
Yeah, a car bumper needs to be way tougher than a plastic toy, right?
Exactly. And then there's dimensional stability, you know, making sure the thing keeps its shape.
Right, like that phone case.
Yeah, pressure is super important for that.
Okay. The source mentioned that too much pressure can make the parts shrink after they're molded.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they stop that from happening?
It's not always as easy as just lowering the pressure.
Oh, why not?
Sometimes if you do that, you get other problems, like the mold doesn't fill up all the way, or you get weak spots in the product.
Oh, okay.
So instead of like one big burst of pressure, they do something called multi-stage injection.
Okay, what's that?
Basically, they increase the pressure slowly over time.
So it's like gradual instead of sudden.
Exactly.
That helps how?
Well, the plastic flows into the mold more evenly.
Okay.
So you don't get those air pockets and stresses that cause warping and shrinking.
Oh, I get it. So everything gets filled in properly.
Exactly. And you get a stronger, better product.
Wow, that's pretty clever.
It is, right?
Sounds like getting this pressure thing right is a lot of like trial and error.
It is.
And really understanding how the pressure, the temperature, the material, all that stuff works together.
You got it. You have to find that balance.
Speaking of temperature, you said earlier that's a big part of it too.
Uh-huh.
I thought pressure was like the main thing.
They're both super important. They work together, you know.
Oh, okay. How so?
Well, think about it like this. The temperature affects how thick and gooey the plastic is. Its viscosity.
Okay.
If it's too cold, it's like trying to squeeze honey out of a bottle on a freezing day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's super slow and sticky.
Right. But if the plastic's too hot, then it can get too runny.
Oh, so what happens then?
You might get flash, where the extra plastic squeezes out of the mold.
Mm.
Or the plastic could even, like, break down.
And then it wouldn't be as strong.
Exactly.
So is there a Goldilocks zone for temperature too, then?
There is. Not too hot, not too cold. Just right for the plastic to flow in nicely.
Gotcha. And that changes depending on the plastic, right?
You got it. And the mold, and even what kind of surface you want on the product.
Wait, the surface finish is affected by the temperature and pressure?
Yeah.
I thought that was just the mold.
Well, the mold is important, but the temperature and pressure matter too.
Okay. How so?
Like higher pressure and a slightly hotter temperature can make a smoother, shinier finish.
Oh, because it pushes the plastic harder against the mold.
Exactly.
So if you wanted it, Matt, you'd change those things.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about fine-tuning everything.
So there's like an art to this as well as a science?
Definitely. Those experienced technicians, they develop a feel for it.
Like a sixth sense?
Kind of. They can look at the plastic, listen to the machine, and just know what to adjust.
That's amazing. It's like they're reading the machine's mind or something.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It reminds me of like a chef adjusting their recipe just by looking at it and knowing what to do.
Exactly. It takes years of experience to get to that level.
So those injection molding technicians, they're like the unsung heroes of all this plastic stuff, huh?
They really are. They make sure everything comes out just right.
This is also fascinating. I never thought about all this complexity that goes into making a simple plastic bottle.
It's amazing, right? And we're not done yet.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah. In the last part, we're going to wrap things up by looking at some of the big picture stuff.
Okay, like what?
Like the future of injection molding, you know?
Cool.
New technologies, sustainability, all that.
Can't wait. So stick with us, listeners. We'll be right back.
Wait, hold on a sec.
Oh.
Before we move on, I got to tell you this story from one of the sources.
Okay, what is it?
It really shows how important that hands-on experience is.
Okay.
So there was this company, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were having a problem with a part that kept cracking. Yeah, even after they tried changing the pressure and temperature and everything.
So what did they do?
They called in this super experienced technician, like decades of experience.
Wow, like an injection molding guru?
Totally.
Yeah.
And he watched the process, listened to the machine, even felt the vibrations with his hands.
Wow, really? That's crazy.
I know, right? Like he was diagnosing the machine.
So what did he find?
Well, he made this tiny adjustment to the mold clamping pressure.
Okay.
Something nobody had even thought of before.
Yeah.
It worked. The cracking stopped, and they could finally make good parts.
Wow, that's incredible.
I know. It shows that sometimes the answer is in these tiny little details.
But you need that expert eye to spot, right?
Exactly.
Even with all the automation and technology, you still need that human touch sometimes.
Totally. And that's something to keep in mind as we move into the future of injection molding.
That's a great point. All right, well, let's go to that last part then. Okay, so we're back for our final look at the world of injection molding.
Yeah, the grand finale.
We've gotten deep into, like, the science and the nitty-gritty.
Uh-huh.
But now I want to look ahead. Like, what's next?
The future. Oh, man, there's so much happening. It's a really exciting time for injection molding.
Okay, so what are we talking about here?
Well, one of the biggest things is automation. You know, using more digital tech.
Okay, yeah.
Things like computer-aided design and manufacturing.
Ah, CAD and CAM. I've heard of those.
Yeah, and using sensors to really control every little thing.
So less like hands-on adjusting.
Well, yeah, more like using algorithms and data.
Oh, so does that mean robots are going to be taking over?
Not taking over completely, but they'll definitely have a bigger role for sure.
Okay, so what will they be doing?
Well, they already do things like loading and unloading molds.
Right.
But now we're talking about even more advanced stuff.
Like what?
Imagine a robot with, like, eyes.
Robot eyes.
Well, vision systems, basically, yeah. So it can see if there are any defects, you know?
Oh, wow.
And then it can adjust the settings to make sure everything's perfect.
So it's like quality control on autopilot.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's amazing. But what about those super skilled technicians we talked about?
Right, the ones with the feel for the process.
Yeah, will they still have a job?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The idea isn't to get rid of humans. It's more about helping them.
Okay, so like a partnership.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like humans working together with these smart machines.
So maybe the humans will be more like the supervisors.
Exactly.
Keeping an eye on things and making the big decisions.
And the robots can do the, like, repetitive stuff.
Right, the stuff that needs super precise control.
Yeah, exactly. And that frees up the humans to focus on other things.
Like problem serving and making sure the process runs smoothly.
Exactly. So everyone wins.
Okay, I like that. Now, our source also talks about sustainability, you know, being eco-friendly.
Uh-huh. That's huge right now.
So what's happening there? What's injection molding doing to be more green?
Well, for one thing, there are these new bio-based plastics.
Bio-based? What does that even mean?
It means they're made from plants or algae, stuff like that.
Oh, wow. So they're like natural.
Yeah, they're renewable, which is great for the environment.
Okay, so instead of using oil to make plastic, we can use plants.
That's good.
That's amazing. And what happens to them when you're done with them?
Well, some of them are biodegradable, which means they can break down naturally.
So they don't just sit in a landfill forever.
Exactly. They decompose back into the earth.
That's incredible. So these bioplastics, are they being used a lot now?
They're getting there, yeah.
Okay.
They're still kind of new, but the technology's improving all the time.
And getting cheaper.
Yeah, and easier to find, too. So I think we'll be seeing a lot more of them in the future.
That's really exciting.
It is.
So it's not just about new materials, right?
Yep.
Like the whole process of making stuff is changing, too?
Totally. Manufacturers are using more energy-efficient machines.
Okay.
And they're trying to create less waste, you know, by being more efficient. And some of them are even using closed loop recycling.
What's that?
Basically, they take the old plastic and use it to make new stuff.
So nothing gets wasted.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So it seems like the injection molding industry is really taking sustainability seriously.
Oh, yeah, big time. It's not just because it's the right thing to do.
Oh, okay.
It's also good for business.
How so?
Well, customers want eco-friendly products, and governments are starting to make rules about it, too.
So everyone's on board?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. So we've got new technology, new materials, a focus on sustainability.
It's a lot, right?
It seems like injection molding is going through like a total transformation.
Yeah, I think so. It's a really dynamic field right now.
So what's the big takeaway here for our listeners?
I'd say the next time you pick up something plastic, don't just take it for granted, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Think about all the ingenuity that went into making it, the pressure, the temperature, the material.
And all the people who made it happen.
The people, yeah. And how they're working to make it even better and more sustainable in the future.
That's a great point. It's been an amazing journey learning all about this.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into the world of injection molding.
My pleasure. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into a fascinating topic.